Time to talk AFL with Michael Barlow. He was superb in his debut for RSN Central last week, so we have him back. Good morning to you, Mitch.
Great to be here, G. Thanks for the kind words.
Now, the big news in the last 24 hours is the sacking of your former coach at your former club,
Ross Lyon. Broke here, didn't it, on RSN Central, I'm reading.
I think we are definitely claiming it. Mark Stevens was sensational from Channel 7. Yep. He was straight on the blower, nice. And he did break that story. And Ross Lyon has lost his job at that football club. Did it surprise you?
It surprised me, Gareth. Yeah, there'd been a lot of commentary surrounding his tenure. But the way he'd spoken publicly in the media just really blindsided me that he'd get sacked, especially with a week to run. So I was shocked. I think we're going to listen to some Hayden Ballantyne audio, and I re-listened to that just on the way in here this morning, and you could hear in his voice, couldn't you, how devastated he was. And he's a player parting ways with the club as well. So, I think, like everyone, really shocked. And what's next? It's a bit of a rabble there at the moment, isn't it, with what's going on, the balls that are in the air and players and administration. So a lot of work to do.
Let's hear from Hayden Ballantyne, who spoke on Perth Radio this morning on the Sports Daily on TAB Radio.
Yeah, we had a meeting at 10 o'clock yesterday, and we got told about the news, and a little bit disappointed in how it all went down, but it is what it is, and we have to move on from that. Like I said, I'm pretty tight with Ross, and it was an emotional day yesterday, and it's pretty hard to come to terms, but like I said, we need to get back to playing footy and playing good footy, and focus on playing the last game of the season now. Mainly shock, really. Like, we didn't really know what was going on, but after that, we just come together and gave Ross a bit of a hug and then send him off after that. But like I said, we just need to focus on what's going to happen this week and have a good off season and come back next year. And the boys need to have a big season next year and hopefully get back to playing final footy next year.
So Hayden Ballantyne speaking on Perth Radio this morning on the Sports Daily on TAB Radio, and you just hear it in his voice.
Sounded dejected, flat, didn't he? Yeah, dejected, nearly defeated kind of tone in his voice, and that's not like the Hayden Ballantyne we know. Well, we know that he's moving on, and he's fulfilling a weekly requirement there with your old Bob over there. But at the same time, it's that speaks volumes. I think the way he spoke, and it's interesting times across the Nullarbor, that's for sure. So. Yeah, and keen to jump into the topics and figure out what is next for that football club.
So when you were there at Fremantle, you were there in their most successful period when you made a grand final, you played in four consecutive final series.
Yep.
And Ross Lyon went there after, in controversial fashion, taking over from Mark Harvey. But he did a wonderful job, especially in the early part.
Absolutely. So wonderful job. It started a bit rocky. Our first half of 2012, we were hit and miss, and we were, some teething issues with game plan and a bit of injury. But we got the ball rolling halfway through that year, made finals, and then from there the momentum continued. We were really confident in the game plan, the personnel. I look at those years, so 2012 to 2015, so 4 years of finals in a row. The 13 to 15 top four. A grand final in 13, minor premiers in 2015. Player retention, there was never anyone leaving. I was trying to think if we ever traded anyone out in that period. Stability at the top, so assistant coaches, it was all relatively stable, maybe one or two here, medical and sports science, all streamlined. And the turnover since 2016, so 2016 was the year it kind of
fell apart.
Yeah, we adjusted some game plan and went 0-10 to start the year. So it can all happen really quickly, but that was off the back of Ross signing, five-year contract. So he's made 4 years of that. And I'd be surprised and shocked if any coach ever commits to any club commits to a coach for 5 years going forward, because it just became untenable, obviously, at Fremantle, in the opinion of the people that are making the decisions.
You were so close from winning a premiership under Ross Lyon. And we had a chat to Paul Hazelby off the top of RSN Central this morning, and he said it all went wrong basically because they didn't manage their list properly in those glory days. And you're about to tell us the players that have been turned over since 2016. Do you agree with Hayes there, Paul Hazelby, that you didn't, or Fremantle didn't manage their list properly when they were flying and playing in grand finals and preliminary finals?
Yeah, there's a lot to dissect. I suppose when you're winning and performing and going to the finals, then you can't please everyone. And but the drafting around that time. So I had a look at the 2011 draft, and five of the players that were, none of the players are still at the club.
Yeah.
Matt Tabernacle was a rookie elevation, but 2011. Five of those players now play at other clubs, and they should be really in the sweet spot of their career. So Hayden Crozier, Lachie Neal, who's the number one, Tommy Sheridan, Sam Menengola, who's playing, you know, he's in and out of Geelong at the moment after a bit of injury, and there's one other that I'll just grab, but that they're players that are now 26. So the drafting at that time has to come into question, and will, and the ability to retain those players. And that's now becoming an issue with the retention, with all the jungle drums that are beating around other key personnel that are looking to jump ship despite contracts and not. So Hayes has a valid point, but when you're winning and when it's all going well, you've just got to keep riding it. And there's probably no real perfect science to how to maintain that form line. So
it was a brutal front page of the West Australian today. Yep. It says, wanted new coach, required skills, teach players how to kick and handle, interact positively with other staff, stop good players from leaving club, and inspire turnaround in membership.
Yeah.
A bit harsh.
I think it's relatively strong, isn't it? And relative is probably a kind word. Cam Sutcliffe was the other player who is at another club. But their skill is just diabolical. Their
at
foot
the moment,
skills is, which, again, in Ross Lyon teams has never really been an issue because he's been able to galvanise a group. When those teams have gone really well, he's had some quality ball users in those successful teams. So Nick Dalsano at St Kilda, Joey Montagna, those type of guys. But where he cut his teeth, Ross, and then at Freo, it was the likes of Daniel Pearce, Stephen Hill, really good ball users. But where he cut his teeth and where he got his bang for buck, I think, is the role players and the ability of players to get the best out of themselves. And that's just not happening at the moment. And I think that hasn't happened for the last 2 or 3 years. St Kilda, look at guys like Blake, Farron Ray, then go to Freo, Tendai Mazungu, Matt DeBoer, guys that would just play a role, Nick Subin. I can't find those players at Freo at the moment. Sam Switkowski is one who our listeners probably wouldn't have. He's from Melbourne. He's a player that I've seen play live, and he's one that just loves doing the stuff that doesn't get recognised apart from within the four walls, the tackling, the smothering. I don't see many others on that list at the moment that are willing to invest in that. And whether the announcement came yesterday, you can hear the devastation in Hayden's voice, and Michael Walters put up an Instagram post, indebting his career and life to a guy like Ross. But the rest of the players that are there just probably haven't been there long enough. And I think they would have been hit pretty hard by it for 24, 48 hours. But such is the industry, they'll move on there. They've got a job that they'll... Yeah, it's a fresh start. You kind of go into self-preservation mode, and a lot of those younger players will.
We're talking to Michael Barlow here, the former Docker and Son on RSN Central. He joins us every Wednesday from 11:30. But Mick, at football clubs, not every player would imagine on a list would be getting on with the coach.
No.
But the majority of the players, would you say, wanted to play for Ross Lyon?
That was the thing, Gareth. I think the majority. It's a weight of numbers.
So he never lost that playing group.
No, well, I can speak really closely to my time there. Maybe elements of 2016, there was questions raised in terms of it was just so foreign to us that we were losing. And it just, there was, you were scratching your head a bit, but we continued to trust and commit and bore in for Ross and the coaching group. We didn't get a great result. We finished 16th on the ladder that year, but it's, I think maybe he might lose one or two that year. And then, you know, that starts to swing. The next year he might lose another one or two. And then the weight of numbers, if that weight of numbers and the majority becomes, you know, I'm happy to be an AFL player. I'm happy to, you know, live the lifestyle rather than, because that was Ross's big thing. I remember some of his meetings were just pure gold and brings a smile to my face. He used to say, you know, you can be an AFL player that gets the drink cards, gets to the front of the line at the nightclub, or you can be a full-time pro and you can go to grand finals and you can play in September. And that's the stuff that really resonated, I think, with our group when we went through and got pretty close, got really close. So, you know, it's that makes me laugh. Some of those ones that you hear them, but it's genuine messaging that's, which way do you want to go? Like it's, I can't really comment on it. Has he lost the players or whatnot? The decision's been made. They'll move on. And Ross is one of the greatest footy minds going around, so he won't be lost to the game for too long.
Did you think he did a pretty good job, say, with the list that was at his disposal? Or is that, do you put the blame back on him a little bit and the recruiting staff for the list that they had? Because we had this argument with Jules Destoop there the other day on that Tuesday yesterday, and he was going through Essendon's list and the Dockers' list. But you could nearly argue that, say, Fremantle might have had a few more or the same amount of A-grade players than on their list compared to the Bombers.
That's the issue now, I think, for Freo. So I mentioned that the start of the 2017 preseason going into next year, and I'm assuming the two Hills leave, Ed Langdon leaves, and Dave Mundy's 50-50 for a contract. Yep. There's six players left there from the 2017 preseason. It'll be Nat Fyfe, Michael Walters, Alex Pearce, who are
A-grade players. Yep.
And then it drops down to Matt Taberner, who has some potential, Connor Blakely, who's probably stagnating a bit, and Ethan Hughes, who's a foot soldier. So 2017, the preseason, there's six guys left from that preseason. And that's three years ago. So they're in such an interesting, because they brought in ready-made players that need to make an impact. It's not like they're rebuilding.
No.
They brought in Lobb. They brought in Hogan. They brought in Wilson.
He did say that he was
rewiring, re-stumping. But now, the conundrum, I think, that faces Fremantle is that everything's changed there, apart from the medical and sports science group, which will be reviewed at the end of the year. That it's a fascinating watch, because their list,
it's not that bad.
Well, the way I read it with what they brought in, it's like they should make finals this year. That was my opinion this time last. Well, when the trade finished last year,
and when they beat Collingwood,
they were sixth.
Yep, and they were flying, and they beat Collingwood at the MCG, and then they were
lost
too
to
good.
Melbourne.
They lost to Melbourne, but then they defeated Port Adelaide, and that was a hard-fought victory. They defeated Brisbane by a point, and they were still sort of in that box.
I think that's what might have got Ross in it. Just, you wouldn't know what they get week to week. Even as recently as 2 weeks ago, they picked Geelong.
Yeah.
They were on top of the ladder at the time. And then they put up a performance against Essendon where they smack them in everything and just can't find a way to win. So I think over the past 12 months, you haven't really known what you're going to get with the Ross Lyon team. And that responsibility spreads. It obviously starts at the top with the coach and the coaching group, but the playing group, there has to be an element of those players sitting there, especially those players in sweet spots of their career and that have come from other clubs that haven't fulfilled their end of the bargain. You know, Ross will fall on his sword, and he will never put any of his players to the sword with him. But there's got to be there's some serious soul searching for players within that organisation to be, you know, they've got to go to another level and help that club become relevant again.
What do you think happens now with that football club?
Yep. Well, I think, you know, there's going to be some player movement. Ed Langdon, Stephen and Bradley Hill. Bradley Hill, definitely. Stephen's kind of the one that, you know, hasn't been spoken about much because he hasn't played.
No.
And he's probably closing on 30. But I read reports this morning, and, you know, there's only reports about Harley Bennell who'll get. I just wanted to touch on this as well, that there's a lot of talk about Ross Lyon not being a personable coach, and some, you know, players don't. It's his way, it's this and that. if you listen to his press conference yesterday, he was he doesn't have to do this. There's no obligation on him to go have a coffee and catch up with Harley Bennell and see how he's going with his life, his new kid, and his direction forward. That's where he was going before when he got sacked. So I think that's a reflection of the Rosslyn I know and that some people are blindsided by in the public. But, yeah, it's a fascinating watch, as we said, in terms of what they do with clearly new coach, new CEOs coming in, a whole new coaching group. The players, there'll be a lot of movement there with the names we've mentioned and potentially more. It would seem they've got to nearly go back to the draft. Because what really good player can they attract or a group of players to say, we're going to be good? I see them finishing bottom three next year.
Well, they get Jesse Hogan, if he can over his injuries and have a good preseason. Lobb was pretty good. I thought Lobb was one of their best players until he was injured, and I thought Pierce was in. Definitely he was in all.
They're going
to
lose run. They're going to lose Langdon and Hill.
Yeah, but Langdon butchers the football too
much. But
he runs.
He runs.
But he kicks it to the carries. Opposition.
Yeah, well, that's a knock on him at the moment. So they're the type of players they've got to
step up.
And they're young players, so there's a lot of responsibility to go on to young group like Brayshaw, Chera, who's a good user. But they've just got to get the football in their hands as soon as the football season finishes. Yeah. And get their running program and all that, but go away and kick the football.
That was one of the criticisms from, I think, the Perth media and a few of the experts. And I think some of them were out of line when they criticised Ross. It was personal sometimes.
Yeah.
But they didn't improve their skills.
Nah, they didn't. That's where so the endeavour, and that's why I can't, the question will remain, and it's an unanswerable question. Did he lose the playing group, blah, blah, blah? Well, I can't answer it.
Well, I don't think he did when you listen to a Hayden Ballantyne, for instance.
Nah. He's of the old mould, though. I think if you listen to Del Sano and Rewalt and
they love
those kind of guys, but they won contested ball by 55 on the weekend against Essendon, and that's nearly you can't lose.
No.
Unless
you can, if you kick like Ed Langdon,
and Cam McCarthy in front of goal, like some of the skill errors and some of the decision making was more than decision making. But that's the thing, Ross never coached skill, and that's probably why a lot of us got a lot of games under. We tried our hardest, but we couldn't execute at times.
As the game, do you think Ross Lyon? We had a chat about Mark Williams last week, whether you think he would like to coach at AFL level once again. And he coaches you, of course, at Werribee. But do you think Ross Lyon could be successful at another AFL club?
Yeah, big happy birthday to Mark Williams as well today. So big
happy
shout out to
Choco.
I do. I think there's definitely a role for him in the industry. I'd love to see him go to a North or a Carlton and be a mentor and be, because from what I've seen over the past 12 months, he's really engaging with his players on a pub, like on a, you can see it now. We could see it as players when he did. I don't want to paint him as a complete lovey-dovey type of operator, because he did have his moments where he was, harsh and, look you in the eye and give you that stare and be like, mate, you needed, you're like, yep, no worries. But, I think he's at the point now. His footy brain's, his desire to continue to learn, going to do that course at Harvard. So he's just dropped that in there that he's going to go over and
add that to the resume.
So he desire to continue to improve and learn is first class. So I'd love to think that North and Carlton in particular, and depending on who ends up, St Kilda's a tricky one because bit of water that's gone under the bridge there. So, short answer to your question, I think he'll be back in football and pretty quickly and should be in a pretty high-ranking role. Senior coaching, I think he can, but, it's I think the game's changing a bit and that mentor stuff would be right down his alley.
RSN Central here. We're with Mickey Barlow. It's closing on 12 o'clock, but Nat Fyfe, the captain of that football club, really well. How do you think he will react and respond to the sacking of Ross Lyon, and how do you think he would lead now? Because I guess he's been the captain of his football club for a little while, but this might just be his most important period as the leader of that football club with no CEO and no coach. But he still leads that playing group.
Yeah, and it's a new playing group, and he's had to adapt a bit, Nat, like Ross has, I feel. It's a completely new environment around him, and I suppose the physical burden that's going to come onto him from a playing perspective. Because I look at their midfield going in, they've lost Lachie Neal. They've brought in Reece Conker, who
Why did Lachie Neal leave?
I think the offer was just too good. It was a business decision and a decision, you know, to get away, I think, from the footy bubble of Perth. And the offer was really good. And I suppose he would have gone to Fremantle and said, if you can kind of match this it was quite amicable in the end between Ross and Lockie, and they would have loved to have kept him, but I just don't think it was achievable. Like Nat Fyfe, but back to the Nat Fyfe question here. Oh, he'll be hurting, and he's someone that will butter himself up and probably front the media pretty quickly and buy right into the Fremantle way and the Fremantle method and what they've done. He'll pay his tributes to Ross, definitely, but he's got to move on quickly because he's got a really new playing group at his disposal. He's got, as I said, not many that have been there for a long time. So he's the big challenge, I think, for him and whoever comes in is to really make that jumper relevant and mean something to the playing group. I don't think we're seeing much of that at the moment, and you can see it in the way Walters plays and Fyfe plays and Mundy play and Ballantyne when he's played, you know, only two or three games this year. It means something, and that's built up over time. And even from my point of view, I went over there not knowing anything about the joint. Fell in love with it straight away, mainly because the people and the what I learnt and the culture and a lot to do with Harves and Ross. So the challenge is coming, and a lot's going to be on Nat's shoulders, probably 80%. In a commercial aspect and his ability to galvanise a group, and then the 20%, which we know he does really well, is just dragging his teammates along with him on game day.
He posted on his social media platforms, Nat Fyfe, thanks Rossi, you couldn't have done any more for us. And Luke Ryan, Sean Darcy, even Brandon Matera with love hearts next to that post. So looking at that, he didn't lose the playing group. Just didn't work out in the end. And when you're in a two-town city like Perth and you haven't made finals for four or five consecutive years, then the supporters get a little bit, they lose patience.
And what's going on down the road, winning premierships and going all the way. So there's, the pressure builds.
Just before we let you go, who's the team to beat? Still Richmond after the weekend?
Well, I was West Coast, wasn't I? Yeah, and I'm even though they didn't lose my admiration over the weekend, they went out hard, they dared to win, they're going to get Nat Nui back at some stage. They've played now on the MCG in more recent times, a couple of times. So I'm still with West Coast. It's hard to say. I've stepped away from my Fremantle days for a little bit now. But I think, West Coast and Richmond. I think we saw the grand final precursor on the weekend.